Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105 on The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Thursday. Beautiful day out there. What is always a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row Dane Bradshaw, the former Tennessee basketball standout who does an outstanding job with the SEC Network. Always a pleasure to listen to. Dane, how are you today?
What's up, guys? I'm doing great.
Good. Hey, how's it been this year? Have you been on location? Have you done it from your house? Have you done a little of both? How have you covered games so far this year?
Yeah, they've sent me a headset, a little basically a laptop and a couple other pieces of equipment, but it's calling it right from home, man. It's wild. And you know, I don't think everybody can necessarily hear it on the air, fortunately, but as I hear kids running up and down the hallway and doorbells ringing and dogs barking, it's a little bit difficult to not get distracted. But it is fun being home right away, although this has essentially ruined any social life I had, which was usually a post-game beer at a restaurant in Baton Rouge or something. But here we are.
All right, and you've got, what, four kids now? How in the world do you keep a quiet situation there?
Yeah, that's right. A lot of bribery and a good wife, that's for sure. So it's they're doing their best. And my son did walk in the room the other day in the middle of it, and he quietly opened the door, and I was just snap at him, kind of trying to tell him to move away. And then he left, but then, of course, he left the door open, and the second half was just filled with clamor from my household. But I don't think the viewers could hear it. But we're getting through it, man.
All right. And here's, to me, this is highly interesting because you think about y'all are all doing an incredible job, but there are just some things that you don't get to see right away. And I hate to bring up a tragic example, but I know the Florida State game last month, the announcers were not on location. And so Keontae Johnson collapses coming out of that huddle, and they weren't there to witness it. So how kind of difficult. I know that's an extreme example. We hope that, you know, doesn't happen. But how challenging is it when there are just certain things you know you can't see?
There's been, I mean, obviously that's an extreme scenario, and you're right. But I was part of a game once at Ole Miss where a guy had a seizure on the court, and it was during a timeout break. And, you know, you come back from the break, and the team's huddled up, and everybody's kneeling and praying, and it's like, what the heck just happened? Well, we were able to see it, witness it, communicate it to the viewer. We're able to talk to the trainer to get a little bit of insight, you know, and go on from there. But, you know, when you're at home, then your guess is as good as anybody else's. And in a situation like that, that's the last thing you want to do is guess. So, but there have been a couple tough issues, especially in late game situations. And you get to the end of the clock and, you know, the officials aren't able to communicate to you if there's something they're reviewing. And again, you're kind of left wondering exactly what it is that they're reviewing, because the communication is typically really good when you're on site, whether it's from the sports information directors that can, you know, come up to you and pass you a note real quick on something, to statisticians, to the officials. So, I think everybody's done the best they can just from a pure, you know, quality standpoint. There is a little bit of a delay between the announcers hearing each other, and so I think you're seeing more and more of us kind of step on each other more so than we normally would. But again, I think everybody's kind of giving us a pass this year and just glad to see sports back on.
You're listening to Dane Bradshaw, the former Tennessee Vol who does a great job as an SEC Network analyst. You're listening to Dane here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Thoughts on your alma mater?
Boy, they can ball, man. They're really, really good. And, you know, they everybody talks about their depth and the quality of their depth, and they're right. I mean, they got guys that are not playing at all at the end of the bench that could be starters on a lot of SEC teams. But they're doing a good job because they're waiting their turn. They've got a good culture. There's no jealousy within the program. But I also think you're starting to see Coach Barnes shrink that rotation even more, because just because you got guys that are good enough to play doesn't mean they need to take the minutes from the best players on the team. So as this season keeps getting down the stretch here and you get closer to March, Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, two freshmen that to me have been worth every bit of the hype. Keon Johnson projected lottery pick. As an example, in their last win at Texas A&M, I thought he played great, and I looked down at the stats, and he played 19 minutes. And it's not that other guys weren't playing good, but if I'm Coach Barnes and you're in the Sweet 16 or whatever it is, and I got a hard time looking at the bench and seeing that guy sitting there down the stretch. And so it's gonna be interesting, because I think as much as you'd like to be able to say, yeah, we go 8, 9, 10 deep, well, it's a nice luxury to know that you can. But when push comes to shove, I think they're going to need to be playing their top seven guys, you know, 30-plus minutes a game, as opposed to spreading the wealth too much.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question I asked Mark Wiedmer a few days ago. If it's clutch time in the second round of the NCAA tournament in a tie game, who do you want taking that shot? And I'll say that I asked Mark that, and he loves Victor Bailey. But as you know, Rick Barnes has kind of limited his playing time based on defensive breakdowns. And, you know, Barnes will gush over Josiah. I mean, I'm just curious, if it's a second-round game and it's tied, who do you want the ball in the hands of?
Well, if it's an open shot, I like Vescovi. You know, I like Victor Bailey. You know, Josiah James is in there, but, you know, open shots, I don't, you know, I could pick several guys. But to me, the thing is, when Tennessee's sharing the basketball, they're moving it side to side. It's poetry in motion. I mean, when they're having those games where it's, hey, we got 17 assists on 20 made baskets, they look incredible. The issue is when teams start denying the passes and they need a guy to just go break you down and get you a bucket. And so I'm going to twist your question a little bit and be like, all right, taking the shot is one thing, but if it's a one-on-one play and go get a bucket, I'm probably going with Keon Johnson, the freshman. And I think he's got the most just get it done by himself ability. Jaden Springer, I think, is the second option there. But when you look at Vescovi, when you look at Victor Bailey, when you look at Eve Pons, when you look at John Fulkerson, you think Josiah James, really good players and guys you would love to have on your team. But I don't look at those guys and say, one-on-one, break you down. You've got a good defense, but I'm going to have better offense on this play. And that's where I think Keon Johnson really shines.
Dane, how has John Petty improved since you played against him?
Yeah. He's been there for a minute, hasn't he, man? Yeah, John Petty. The Alabama senior, for those listening not familiar with him, with the floppy hair and you know, came in, I don't know if he was a five-star or not, but he was highly recruited out of Alabama. And, you know, back when I was playing, it was, I played only 1 year with him, but that's what people used to say about Wayne Chisholm at Tennessee. It was like, golly, I feel like that guy's been there for 7, 8 years. But, yeah, John Petty, he, in terms of his improvement, I see a ton of – he's making better decisions with the ball. He's a more complete player. Better ball handler and reliable shooter, and he's got a pop and a confidence to him. And I think, you know, I don't know if he's a quiet kid in the locker room or not, but when he's on the court, he seems to have some leadership skills just in terms of his demeanor. And he's not somebody that, even though he's highly recruited, you never really see him pressing like, okay, I got to go get mine. And a lot of times, especially in a senior year, you could see that. But Alabama right now, if I'm not mistaken, they don't have anybody averaging over 13 points a game, but they got a lot of guys averaging 13 points a game.
And I was curious, I mean, we're sitting here in mid-January, and I know Alabama's already gone up to Thompson Bowling and won. Can you look at those two rosters and kind of project 2 months from now, which team do you think may be built for March better with Tennessee and Alabama?
Yeah. You know, I think it was a tough matchup for Tennessee. That doesn't mean they can't learn from their mistakes. If I had Tennessee and Alabama playing again, even though Alabama really exposed them, the way they can drive the ball and force Tennessee to guard the perimeter, I'm not sure I wouldn't take Tennessee in the rematch, just because I think we underestimate how teams can learn from the film, learn from their mistakes, and get out and fix it. So, look, Alabama, they can shoot it really well. They can drive it extremely well. But that's not new. Alabama was putting up big-time points last year. The difference is they're winning the tough guy plays, the 50-50 balls. A year ago, Herb Jones was their glue guy, do-it-all. He was their tough man that would take charges. When he got hurt, the team couldn't win close games. I mean, they were that fragile on the toughness factor. Now, Herb Jones got hurt at Kentucky the other night, and they finished the game without him just fine and never let the foot off the gas, and they still won all those toughness plays. So I think if you ask Coach Oates, you know, what's the biggest difference between this team and last team? Yeah, there's some personnel changes they've made to make them better offensively for what he wants to do, but I don't think there's any question that they're no longer just a finesse three-point shooting team. They're a beautiful offensive team that can also put on their hard hat, as he likes to say, on the defensive end.
You're listening to Dane Bradshaw, the former Tennessee hoop standout, now with the SEC Network. You're listening to Dane here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. We can't talk SEC basketball without Kentucky. Is this the as mediocre of a Kentucky team as you've ever seen? Because it's certainly wild. Just when they seem to make progress, Alabama goes up there and wins by 20.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect storm in a bad way for Kentucky, because everybody's accustomed to Kentucky being young and new with a bunch of freshmen. But this is, even for John Calipari standards, this is the least amount of returners she's ever had there. With juniors and seniors gone, usually you got a couple of those upperclassmen that didn't make it to the league that would stick around, whatever. But this was as fresh of a crop as he's had. Then you put the pandemic on top of that. So you got a brand new team that needs the offseason more than ever, and they don't get that typical routine and bonding and all those other things that come with it. And then probably more importantly than all that, is they're just not as talented. You know, not every recruiting class is created equal. So you might have the top recruiting class in 2018. That doesn't mean the 2021 class is just as good. Yeah. You know, so I think that's been part of it as well. And so it looked like they were starting to get their confidence back. But again, that's where, going back to Alabama. Alabama, it wasn't about Alabama catching Kentucky at the right time. I mean, they caught Kentucky at a time where they were getting new life and getting confident, and they just flat exposed them, really, with three of their best players out, either before the game or during the course of the game due to injury.
I don't know if anybody's undergone more of a roster transition than the coach you played for. When you think of Bruce Pearl, I think at the beginning of the year, Tyrell Jones was their point guard, and he's not even in the program anymore. The last couple of games, it's been Sharif Cooper, who's welcomed himself to the world with 54 points and 21 assists. How good, because I know Justin Powell's still out with the concussion, how good do you think Auburn can be right now? Because right now they looked like a good team last night, but they're sitting there with a 1-4 league record.
Yeah, they were 0-4 before that win last night, as you mentioned, and but they're much more dangerous than that. We've been talking Alabama, but they took Alabama down to the wire because of Sharif Cooper being in the lineup, five-star point guard that was sitting out due to eligibility concerns. And now he's in there just balling and perfect in a Bruce Pearl type system. And so they're going to continue to be motivated and play hard. That's what Bruce Pearl does. They have self-imposed a postseason ban,
right,
for, you know, violations they've had. But the difference is, where I could see that just really causing a team to collapse, is that that would cause a team to collapse more, I think, if you had some seniors where, man, my last year, we're screwed. I'm not even going to get a chance. But with this team, they're so young, so new, that everything they came to Auburn to do and to accomplish can still be done both as a team and individually. It just won't necessarily occur this year in a postseason form. But they're going to grow. They're going to learn to go on the road as a team. They're going to learn to get better and what SEC life is like. And then the fruits of their labor, despite not having a postseason opportunity this year, will be in place for next season.
All right, and then the team they beat last night, Dane. I mean, Georgia, I liked the Tom Crean hire. I mean, you know, he had Marquette in the Final Four. He had a couple of good years at Indiana. I don't think he ever had the consistent track record of like a Pearl. But, I mean, here's Crean 7-33 in SEC games now.
Yeah, it's an odd thing because I had their game the other weekend against Arkansas, and
ouch,
going into that, just looking at it. And I've had them a few times in the past, and Coach Crean's always been great with us. And I don't think he runs bad offense. I mean, they're all about space and getting three-point looks. But if that's your game, then you better have three-point shooters, and they just don't have it. I mean, every year he's been there, they're shooting about 30% from three, which, you know, on average, I guess, is around 250th. Closer to 300th in the country. I mean, that's what they've been year after year. And so they're taking a lot of threes, but they're not making any of them. I know that sounds simple, but it's what it is. If they could even just be in the top half of the NCAA, not elite, just the top half, so average, I think, you know, that's a 4 or 5-game swing during conference play. But they put so much pressure on their defense and their half-court offense when they can't make threes that it's just – it's a little bit head scratching at times, because I think he's, and I think he's recruited the guys he's wanted to, and they've gotten older this year and had a nice non-conference, despite not playing the strongest of schedules, but 7-0, I believe, entering conference play, and then 0-4 now is something I know they're disappointed in. But you know, you just got to keep getting guys in that fit your system, and I'm not sure he's got that roster there. At the same time, you could argue, okay, well then adjust your style of play that fits this type of roster, and I think that's probably what they're trying to balance at this point.
All right, Dane, when we have great guests like you, we love to close with the rapid fire. First thing off the top of the head, ready to play?
Bring it on.
Most exciting player in the SEC right now?
Leave Ponce.
The biggest team surprise, in a good way?
Alabama.
When you're not watching hoops, what are you watching?
Cocomelon.
All right. Dane, listen, great stuff.
It's a one-year-old show on Netflix. If anybody, if there was ever access to the amount of streaming and hours on Cocomelon on Netflix, I would be an embarrassed parent. But you're like, if that's the only thing that works, it's the only thing that works. So God bless Netflix.
Well, it's the trade-off for keeping you quiet when you got to do your job. Listen, thank you. Thank you so much. You do a great job. We always love listening to you, and we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row. Thank you so much, Dane.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Dane Bradshaw again, the former Vol, does a great job with the SEC Network. Always fun to talk hoops with. 648-1051 is your number. We'll introduce today's poll question here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.